Obanai in the shotgun with Wheaton, takes the snap, rolls near side right, throws, it's caught! Touchdown, Greg Little, and the Browns lead!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Here's Wheaton, play action fake, looking, throwing, wide open, touchdown, it's Obanai!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
It is a Call Your Shot Friday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic and Nathan with you for the next 2 hours. Got some great stuff on tap today. A Hall of Famer will be with us. Dan Fouts will join us on the line. Dan Fouts, the Hall of Fame quarterback, who will be on the call with Ian Eagle, CBS Sports televised coverage of Sunday's game in Kansas City between the Browns and the Chiefs. Fouts doing his first Browns game this year, had this team last year, had them the last couple of years, so he's got some thoughts on the Browns that he's going to share with us. We're going to try something special today that I think will work really well. You've loved our after further review that our outstanding producer Dave DiNatale put together. Well, today we're going to do something called Friday Forecast, kind of a fact or fiction thing there.
And I like it.
We have fun with that. So that'll be coming up, about 5 questions each that we'll answer. Go inside the locker room with Jameer Howard team with Devon Best. Gerard Cherry shows up here at about, that'll be about 2:15 with Best, about 2:35 with Gerard. How is my man Nathan?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing really well. And as I start to think about this game and I start to get information about it, I feel like that the Browns are going to be a lot more competitive than the general public is giving them credit for this Sunday, 2 days from now at Arrowhead Stadium, against this Kansas City Chiefs team. And the reason I feel that way is because of the defense. I like the swagger that Ray Horton's showing. I look at the matchup, and I say to myself, if this team can be decent against the run and decent against Jamaal Charles, which is a tall order, they should be able to handle a game manager like Alex Smith that does not have a game-changing talent on the outside. This is a massive improvement for what the defense has to face relative to Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers the last 2 weeks. So I'd say competitive.
I'm in a great mood today.
You look like you're in a good mood. You're glowing. I'm glowing
and happy. Lots of good stuff going on.
Is it because Carly's here?
Well, that doesn't hurt at all. I'd be lying if I said it was the reason, but it's now that you brought it up and that she's sitting here, I'm going to say, oh, sure,
absolutely.
But no, Carly's great. But I feel good, but I don't feel great about this game. Unfortunately, everything you say is sensible. It's sensible. It's logical, but it doesn't fit what I see in this game. What I see in this game is, I think, an insurmountable task. And as much as we spent yesterday talking a lot about the defense and putting it on the defense, which is exactly square where you've put it, the swagger
right,
of Ray
totally.
Horton and everything else, and he's saying the right things. But, man, I got to see more proof. And I really got to see this defense reverse a trend that has been bothersome these last few weeks, and
yes,
especially last week at Green Bay. And I know that Alex Smith doesn't have the gaudy numbers, the performance that – you look at him and want to think of him in any elite way, but, man, he's pretty good.
He's very good.
He's an underappreciated part of this Chiefs 7-0 run. I think, unfortunately, on Sunday, we're going to see why they're 7-0 and what Alex Smith's part of it is, because I think he's going to do some things against this defense that are going to be unfavorable to the Browns. That's just the way I look at it. And the Jamaal Charles factor is huge, too, because he can just attack you in so many ways. He is really an elite running back. He may be, you know, we thought it was Adrian Peterson earlier in the season, but he may be the very best back the Browns face this year.
He is the only back in the National Football League who has 100 total yards and a touchdown in every single game this year. He can hurt you running. He can hurt you catching. He has got the best yards per carry average for a person with this many carries throughout their career in NFL history. Jamaal Charles is a very special back. And I'll say this to kind of counter my own point of optimism.
No, don't. Stay optimistic. Don't counter your point.
I'm just going to point this out at the same time. A couple weeks ago... we were looking at the Detroit game, and we were saying, all right, Calvin Johnson is hobbled. Calvin Johnson was not a factor in the outcome of that game.
Nope.
But Reggie Bush's run pass abilities certainly hurt the Browns.
Definitely.
Secondary targets and tight ends we'd never heard of, Joseph Fauria, hurt the Browns. So
yes.
Matthew Stafford is better than Alex Smith. By the way, Alex Smith hasn't thrown a passing touchdown in three straight games. Yes, three straight games. So
hopefully they
can do a little bit better this week. And I'm going to put this game squarely on the defense because that's the only way that the Browns are going to have a chance to win the game, first of all. And second of all, that's the path to keeping it competitive, because if it ends up being pinned on Jason Campbell when everybody in Arrowhead knows the Browns are going to throw the football, it's going to get ugly, and it's going to get ugly fast.
And that was the other part of my pessimism, is that I hadn't even got to that point, that at Arrowhead Stadium, which is an extraordinary place to play, I've seen and covered more teams that have gone in there feeling great about themselves, some like the Buffalo Bills during their heyday run, and ran into the buzzsaw that was the Chiefs at Arrowhead, and it was just awful. And these were some high-end offensive tackles. A guy like Will Wolford, who had some legitimate Hall of Fame discussion during his time as an offensive tackle in the NFL, just could not handle the dynamics of crowd noise, and a guy named Derek Thomas, who wasn't too bad in his day, obviously a Hall of Famer.
Pretty good.
And now I think of Tom Bahaly, and I think of Justin Houston, and I think of that noise, and I think of Mitchell Schwartz, and I want this to be such a nice homecoming for Mitchell, and he gets to face his brother on the Chiefs in this game. There's a nice little story going on there. There's another side story of Joe Banner being reunited with Andy Reid. They spent 14 years together in Philadelphia. That's another little side story. But all those little side stories are going to be washed out for the Browns' sake by that noise that just comes pouring into this bowl of a stadium that is under sort of below the surface, that it's built in this bowl-like stadium. And you will be amazed at how incredibly loud and difficult it is for the pass protectors. And here's Jason Campbell, who got sacked six times in his last start when he was with the Chicago Bears. No, I was going to say the Chicago Bears.
He got sacked a lot with the Raiders, too.
It was, in November of last year?
Yes,
six sacks. We know about that long, deliberate windup that we consider troublesome. And the acclimation, it's going to take a little time for Jason Campbell to get acclimated with this offense. The coaches know this. North Turner knows this. They're planning on taking a little bit of time before he gets really comfortable. I'm not expecting him to come out of the gate and have a Brian Hoyer-like performance out of the gate, although Brian's included three interceptions before that winning touchdown pass.
I would certainly agree with that. And you look at this Chiefs team, they lead the league in sacks. They lead the league in turnover differential. They lead the league in just about every category you would want your defense to be leading the league in. They're top five in literally every single defensive category. Yeah. So this is no easy task for Jason Campbell, who's being thrown into a tough, tough situation. I think the fact that he is a veteran and that he has made starts and he's had success in Arrowhead is probably the reason that they felt okay making the decision. I wonder if it were, all right, are we going to go with Whedon again? Or are we going to go with Hoyer, if they wouldn't have thrown Hoyer into this tough environment? Now, you look at what the Houston Texans did. They did the same thing last week with Case Keenum, who had never, that was his first start literally in the NFL, and they did what the Browns need to do. They played very solid defense. Mm-hmm. They limited the big plays. They limited their own mistakes. In fact, the turnover, the sack fumble that came was on the last play of the game for Case Keenum. So before that, he took very good care of the football. That's what the Browns are going to have to do.
Right.
They are going to have to hope that they can play good enough defense to stay close enough that in the fourth quarter, a ball can bounce their way, and they can end up stealing this game with either a big special teams touchdown, a defensive touchdown, or an offensive touchdown after the game has gotten very, very tight, because that's what they need to do. They need to turn this into a one-quarter game in the fourth quarter where each possession matters, and hope that they get the Chiefs on an off day, they blink, and the Browns defense is able to make enough plays to give this offense a chance to win the game. And as Ray Horton walks by right now with a little swagger,
he's got some swagger.
I'm hopeful that this is able to happen.
The other part of this is the special teams. We need to see the same thing you're talking about from the special teams, that same element of difference making plays. Can they provide that? I don't know. I'd like to think a little of the movement that's been done here, getting Fozzie Whitaker involved in kickoff returns, I think that can prove to be more beneficial to this team than even some might think, because you don't really know what Fozzie's contribution can be. You know about some of his background, but truly he hasn't made his dent yet in the Browns, and I think it's possible that he could do something special on Sunday and
beyond. I hope he does.
And I hope he does. And the same, of course, for Travis Benjamin – likely more in the punt return game. The way I'm seeing this, and a lot of people have asked this question, is to why not just let Benjamin be fully involved in kickoffs? We know the whole story about exposure to injury, et cetera, being greater on the kickoff return versus punt return. But the bottom line here is that we saw how dynamic he was with that kickoff return, the biggest play the Browns had in that Green Bay game last week. And then I think it's down to selective moments of utilizing him on kickoff return. So I think there is a little element of surprise that the Browns want to introduce in that portion of their game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's, I'd like to see him like back that, there every time. I'd like to see him return it every kick. But I get it.
I'm a proponent of
I
him.
I get it.
I want the ball in his hand a lot more than it is. And I think if we say a lot of good things about this coaching staff, and deservedly so, for strategic work, for creative work.
Right.
Overall, right? We say that.
Yep.
But in the case of Travis Benjamin, it what hasn't been achieved is, I think, a consistent plan of utilization, of getting the ball in the hands of a guy who has something that nobody else that faces the Browns or is his teammate on the Browns has, and that is this rarefied speed. He's got something that sets him apart from the majority of players in the NFL. He's that special, right? We know he's that special, and the Browns know he's that special. Whatever is impeding his development and involvement more in the offense, I'd love to see that solved like now in this year. And I'm not really sure what it is that is holding it up. I'm not really 100%. I can't wrap my mind completely around why very smart coaches haven't figured that out yet.
I would agree with you there. And to me, you know, when you go back to that Detroit game, you had the nice play where Benjamin got the ball and had the 40 yards on the end around. So that was the best quarter that maybe they've had offensively with Brandon Weed under center. Benjamin was involved. The Buffalo game, he did it on special teams. This team is functioning at its best when Travis Benjamin is involved outside of the Minnesota game, when Jordan Cameron and Josh Gordon literally dominated that game with Brian Hoyer at quarterback. They need that spark, and that's the thing, because the running backs – I don't care how big the hole is, and I love Willis McGahee. I love the way he plays. I love the way he runs. It doesn't matter how big the hole is. He's not going to break off a 40-yard run.
Right.
Josh Gordon can make a 40-yard play for you. Little sporadically can make one. Cameron can. Best really can't. That's not his forte either. So the only other guy on this team that truly is a home run hitter is Travis Benjamin, and finding ways to get him involved, whether it be on bubble screens, et cetera, is something and a challenge, I think, for this coaching staff to try to do. And I'll go back to this, and I could be completely crazy, and people, coaches who would know a lot better than I do, could say, Nathan, you're crazy. But I know he's a little bit smaller than Randall Cobb, but I still think you can do some of the things that the Packers did with Randall Cobb, get him in the backfield on third downs as a receiver just to generate mismatches. You're never going to hand him the ball, and you're not going to have him block, but you're getting him back there because you're creating a mismatch where you're going to force the defense to tell you what they're going to do based on who they move to try to shadow Travis Benjamin. And I'd like to see a little bit more of that because, frankly, on third down, if you're checking down to Chris Obanaya, he needs a lot of space to pick up a first down. Travis Benjamin does not need a lot of space on a check down to be gone. And I think that's something creative that maybe you could see. We'll see what happens.
And I think to the point of special teams, it is – just use them and take your chances. It's a chancy game. It's football. The risk is considerable. For the same reasons that we have encouraged this Browns team not to make a Josh Gordon trade, which is all about risk behind it. And the more I've explored that, the more I'm down to believing the following. One, I don't think the Browns have received anything close to
what
an
want.
Offer that they want for
Good.
This guy.
Okay. Thank you.
I think what has been flowing in here has been of the variety of probably fourth round, and if not even, I mean, at the highest. And that is not going to get that deal done.
That's Joe Banner saying, good day, sir, on your fourth round.
I think when you heard in the people that I've talked to around the league say that when you hear about the Browns balking, it's easy to balk at that because that doesn't even come close to – you can live with your risk when it's going there.
Absolutely.
What is interesting now is if the price tag could get – and over the course of these days, what's going to be interesting to monitor as we get closer and closer to Tuesday is there going to be enough of any kind of a bidding war –
somebody
developing,
pony
which
up.
Is what which right. is what is effectively being created. The more you say no to multiple parties, the more now the multiple parties have to figure out how they can get it there. Does the third get it? The third rounder get it done? And in from league wide discussion, that has been put in the category of premium pick. Now, he is a player who in whom they've invested a second round, and they, of course, being the organization, not the current people running the organization, what they gave as a supplemental pick was a second. His suspension and his risk, as I've been told, and I'm talking outside this building, has lowered that price to the highest price being, again, a three, but no one's talking a three. So the Browns haven't even heard about a three, and if they heard about a two, that would be considered amazing.
So then, the odds of this deal getting should not be traded.
And that's what I was going to conclude
good.
On is that
I like.
I think
conclusion.
If you want optimism about Gordon staying a Brown, those are the kinds of things that are floating out there. And I like the information I have on this. And I'm believing that.
Is that why you're glowing?
Well,
is that a part of it?
Not really.
No. All right.
No.
All right. We'll get to the bottom of
that
this
just
at some
comes.
Point.
There's a lot of good stuff.
Well, that's
life's good.
Life
just being
good.
Out here. The sun is sort of shining and
there's no snow on the ground.
Saw flakes though. I saw some flakage. I had more on the east side than I had over here.
Oh, we had
on
legit
this side.
Snow.
Yesterday
oh,
was legit.
Legit
kids.
Snow.
You had the picture of the kids standing in the snow. And over here, it was just some serious flakes. And I had a dog, Coach. My dog, his name's Coach. He was out there looking up and saying, "What is this?" And he wasn't loving the snowflakes. He Coach thought that
he
was
he had some time in problem. Buffalo though. No, Coach. I mean, he should be familiar with the.
Yeah, Coach is a I was going to say he's bi-coastal. He's bi-lakel because he's on each side of Lake Erie.
He's a
bi-lakel dog.
Bi-lakel.
You like that?
Yeah, I do like that, a bi-lakel dog.
Did we say this is a Call Your Shot Friday?
It is Call Your Shot Friday. You can reach us at 216-578-0850 or tweet us at Browns_daily. And obviously, if you've been following Browns_daily, which you should be doing on Twitter, you're seeing a lot more involvement, a lot more social media activity there. So certainly, if you're not following it, you should at Browns_daily. And, of course, you can call us, like I said, 216-578-0850 here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I think we got a big show lined up. We're going to get into this matchup. We're going to talk a little bit. We talked the top level about what we think here coming up for Sunday. It's going to be a tough one for the Browns, but we're going to find the path to victory as we always try to do, although I think this week it will be very narrow and very specific. There will be exactly one path to victory for the Cleveland Browns, and hopefully they find a way to follow it. We'll be back with more here on CBD. Still to come, Hall of Famer Dan Fouts stops by and gives his thoughts on this Sunday's game.
I said good day!